Thank you so much for joining us online today at Christ Covenant Church. We hope you sense God's presence and are encouraged by the message. Now, here's Pastor Ryan Weems.
Welcome to Christ Covenant and welcome to Vision Sunday. And if you're new around here, let me explain from the beginning what this Sunday is all about. It's all about celebrating what God has done in this house and also hearing what God's saying to us next as a church. It's a moment that we refocus on why we do what we do, on why we gather on Sundays in the room and also in many other rooms, and also why we scatter Monday through Saturday. And so now is the time in the service that I'm hoping you're a little bit more awake and ready for what I'm about to share. It's a time that you should ready your voice to amen what God's doing through you. It's time for you to ready your head to be uplifted with hope. We need some hope right now. And it's time for you to ready your heart to receive what God is saying to us about the future. Because no matter how you feel about what's happening in culture or in politics, Jesus reigns, y'all. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And I'll tell you this, we got work to do for the kingdom. And with our future in mind, for those taking notes, I'm calling this message Vision Sunday 2020, our 10-year plan. You could write that down, our 10-year plan. And so if this is your home church or you're thinking about this being your home church, this is a very important message for you to lean in the room and also watching online. And if you follow along on the YouVersion Bible app or if you have a physical copy of the Bible, turn with me to Acts chapter 2. That's going to be our main text today. Acts chapter 2. And we're going to read verses 42 through 47 together. I'm going to read out of the NLT, the New Living Translation. So if you got a Bible with you in some capacity, I hope you'll turn there. Very important text for us as a church in the Big C Church. And as some are turning there in the room and other rooms, let me give you 30 seconds or less a quick context in this passage. Jesus has just resurrected and ascended up to heaven, essentially now passing the baton to the New Testament church, you and me, us together. And the first churchgoers, they received power from on high as fire fell from heaven. Come on, somebody. And as they received power, the Bible tells us right before this that 3,000 people were added to the church directory that day. Y'all remember church directories back in the day? That was a long one from the beginning. They didn't have pictures back then. Maybe they had artists, I don't know, that drew people. But they were added in one day and one moment. Not a bad start. And what we're about to read in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, is directly after all of this. And honestly, it's the church in its purest, most raw form, okay? Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Several of our small groups, our connect groups, have even studied Acts and are still studying Acts. And here's what it says. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. Hit pause for a moment. By the way, when you see that word fellowship here, it's one of those church words that we throw out a lot and don't always understand what it means. What it means in this context is simply sharing, okay? They shared. And Bible scholars say that they're probably, what it's referring to is probably a common meal or a common experience wrapped up in Jesus that they shared together. Verse 43, and a deep sense of awe came over all of them. And the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers, notice all is repeated often in this passage, all the believers met together in one place and shared everything that they had. They went extreme. They sold their property and possessions and they shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple, or you could say church building, each day. Met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, two things that should mark every single New Testament church, great joy and generosity. All the while, what did they do? We just did it and we live our lives this way as Christians, praising God and enjoying the good will of all the people. You should have fun around other Christians, okay? There should be enjoyment, not enduring, okay? And each day, notice this, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Let's pray together. Lord, we love you so much, and we thank you for this holy text, your word. And God, we know this, that it is useful for teaching, correcting, rebuking, so that we can be formed into the people you've called us to be, to do good works. And I pray, God, for every heart, those that call Christ Covenant their home church, those that are here for the first time, those that are maybe kicking the tires, trying to figure out how you're leading and what you're doing. I pray for all of us, God, that we would hear from you, that we would hear from heaven. And as we go back to the beginning of the New Testament church, God, that we would learn some things or relearn some things. And I pray today, all of the things that I've prepared to share, as we highlight what you've been doing, even in the middle of a pandemic, I pray, God, that you would get all the glory and all the honor for what you're doing in this house amongst your people. We know this, we are nothing without you. And so, God, I pray that you'd have your way in every heart and every life. In Jesus' name, amen. Man, I've been waiting for this Sunday all since last Sunday. I can't wait to share some things with you. Before we walk through this passage in a moment and look ahead, I want to first look back for a second or two. We all know this. This is not new information for you, but 2020 has brought some bad stuff, right? For all of us, it has not been one for the books. It's one that we like to omit from the history books, right? Like, there's been pain and loss, division, interruption, and fear, and we don't minimize any of that at this church. We want you to know that we feel your pain. Your pain is real. God sees it. We see it. And yes, it's been maybe the hardest year we've ever experienced, but it's also brought a moment for us to reset as a church, to reset as God's people, to look at our priorities and look at areas that maybe we've got offline. And so today, I want to make a fresh commitment to you. And we got these services, they're recorded, they go on demand on YouTube, we got podcasts everywhere, including we're on Spotify now, so it's on record is what I'm saying. And I want to make a fresh commitment to you, a challenge to you. Let's become the church God has destined for us to be. Like, let's become that church. Like you were made, hear me, you were made for so much more than going to work, eating Tex-Mex, binge watching another show on Netflix, and then doing it all over again, okay? You were made for more than that. There is purpose and destiny upon your life, upon this church, but it's imperative that we all get back to our roots. It's time we double down on what we believe. So today, as we study Acts chapter 2, in particular, the passage I just read, I want to challenge you with three ways that we can partner together to make a difference heading into the future, to be the church God has called us to be from the very beginning. If you're taking notes, get ready to write down a few things. Number one is this, my challenge to us as a church. I'm challenging you, us, to share hope. To share hope. I hope you'll write that down. To share hope. Our world needs some good news. I'll say that again. Our world needs some good news, like some really good news. This is verses 42 through 43. You see, the beginning of the church was all about sharing, all about carrying the hope that we have in Jesus to every single person that we meet, to not be secret service Christians or a secret service church that no one really knows about unless they're on the end, but that we would share hope with every single person, family that we come into contact with. And if you look at the church now, 2,000 years later, this is still our calling. It was then, it is now. And the truth is, friend, people in this moment are now more open to the gospel maybe than at any point in our lifetime. Because of the pain, because of the hurt, because of what they see, no matter what news channel they watch, it's a mess, okay? I'm not telling you anything new, and people need some hope. And so I got to tell you this. I'm going to talk about future things here later on in this message, but in this moment, it's important that you know we are doing this right now. God is doing a great work. Now, it just looks different. With different services and online and different things that we've tried, I am so grateful that God has allowed us to continue to share hope. In fact, this is where you should get ready to amen, okay? So help a brother out, help a pastor out. I want to brag on God and brag on you for a second. So I hope that you'll back me up with some amens because God is doing a great work. I got to tell you this. I am so thankful that in a little less than 3 years, why that 3 years? That's just how long I've been here. That's my timeline, nothing special about it. But I'm so grateful, so thankful that in the last 3 years, we've seen over 400 decisions for Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody. I'm so grateful for the open doors that God has given us into the next generation to share hope like we did recently at our Glow Night with our teenagers. Packed house and 10 decisions for Jesus. I thank God for what happened on Superhero Sunday. You saw kids dressed up as their favorite superheroes. You better believe in our elementary class, we had over 4 students, I believe, give their life to Jesus Christ. It's incredible what God's doing. You talk about discipleship. Where do you start when people are young? When people are young. Did you know that over 80% of people come to the faith before they're 18? That is fertile ground that we have that God has given us to share hope. But how many of y'all know we don't just share it with our kids? We don't just share it locally. God has called us to take this thing national, international. What did Jesus say? To the ends of the earth. And you know, I've shared before that one of my big goals, and I've got several of them, some we've hit, some we've got a ways to go, but I've shared before that one of my big goals coming in was to make some adjustments with how we do things financially. Nothing bad was happening before, but some things that God put on my heart, some projections for us, and really there was some big things I wanted to focus on when it comes to our missions giving, and we were giving away missions support monthly. Again, nothing was bad, but I felt like God had more for us. And so I got some exciting news when it comes to our missions and our savings. In fact, I've been excited for a couple of months now because our fiscal year here at the church, we're October through September. So we're 2 months in to our new fiscal year. We don't go calendar year. We've got our fiscal year. And I've been so excited since myself and the elders voted this in. But we have, for this current fiscal year, we have voted in, it's already in place when it comes to our operation budgets, that we're going to give away 10% of our budget to missions. Come on, somebody. We're about at 6%, I think, 3 years ago, and again, this is my timeline, and I just really felt like, hey, God wants us to tithe as a church. So not only do I encourage you to tithe, to give 10%, not only does my family, including my son who's 7, any dollar he gets, he's giving 10 cents to the church. It all matters in the kingdom, friend. And not only is our staff tithing and our elders are tithing, our volunteer, all that kind of stuff, but I said, you know what? I want our church to tithe. What should mark the New Testament church? Joy and generosity. And so budget in. We'll give away more than that with special offerings, but we have budgeted into our operations account that we're going to give away 10% local, national, and international. Not just that, but we want to be a church that saves. How many of y'all know you need to save for a rainy day, but also for a rainy year, like 2020, right? And so I thank God we had savings before I got here. I don't take any credit for that. I don't take any credit for what I'm sharing it now either. But I thank God for that. But still, we wanted to budget in. So this is really cool. We've budgeted our current fiscal year off of 88% of what came in the previous year. That's a built-in 12% savings, even if we don't grow, but we're already growing, okay? So I just want you to know that we're being smart with how God, what God has given us. We want to be good stewards, good managers, and it sets us up to be a generous church. But that's not it. We give God glory for what he's doing in our connect groups. They're thriving. There's discipleship happening there. In fact, like you won't find anything in the Bible where it shows you a curriculum for discipleship. The way they were discipled in the New Testament church was doing life together, house to house, walking with Jesus together. And we'll talk more about that in a moment, but I give God glory for what's happening there. Here's something really cool I want to share with you. I've been so excited. We've been doing church online for one year, and we've seen over 400% growth in our weekly church online attendance. We love y'all. I can't see you. You can see me, but we love you. We love what God's doing. We give God glory. Y'all remember Serve Day this past summer? We said a pandemic's not going to stop us. We're not going to stay on lockdown. We're going to be smart, but we're going to go out, and we sent an army, many of you in this room, to volunteer different anchor projects. And man, we had fun. You better believe we had some sweat equity in those Serve Day projects. And God did a great work. And not only that, but we gave away thousands of dollars to different organizations. I'm telling you, friend, God is doing a work now. One of the things I shared with you, one of the goals I had coming in was I've got a huge heart for the Spanish-speaking community, and my wife, she's Hispanic, fluent in Spanish, and I speak poquito, okay, a little bit, and she's working on me and teaching our kids, but I've got a heart for the Spanish-speaking community, and we've launched a Spanish translation a year ago, but I'm excited to tell you that either by the end of this year or the beginning of next year, we're also going to have YouTube on-demand messages with Spanish translation. Isn't that awesome, somebody? That way families all across the United States and the world, that they can not only just hear but see what's happening and also have it translated as well. What am I saying? I'm saying this, and write this down if you're taking notes. Your giving, your prayers, and your serving go well beyond the four walls of this building. I want you to let that sink in for a moment. You just see what's happening at 9:30 because you're the 9:30 service. You don't see what's happening in 11 a.m. You don't see what's happening in the other areas in our building upstairs with our Impact AM, what's happening in our kids' classrooms, what's happening on Wednesdays in the different connect groups that you're not a part of, like what's happening in our women's ministry. Like you don't see it necessarily if you're not a part of it, but you need to realize today that your giving, your prayers, and your serving go well beyond the four walls of this church. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying you're making a big difference now. You need to know that. You're making a big difference now. We're sharing hope. Now this is so stinking cool. I'm telling you, if we could have had Sundays back to back this last week, I would have done it if we could have flipped the calendar around. This was one of the most exciting things I got to show you today. But every single tither, literally, your faithful giving goes places you'll probably never go physically. You need to understand that. In fact, online and in the room, I want you to see a map of the different missionaries and missions organizations, where they're established, of where your giving goes. Would you show that for a second? Everything in dark blue. That's not the political map, by the way, that you've been watching nonstop for a week of the United States. This is the world. Look at that. All the different continents. There's only two that we're not on currently, and that's going to change, by the way, in the future. But Australia and South America. But look at all those different areas. And you can't see Israel right now in the center of the map, but that's where 10% of our 10% goes, to the Jew first, as the Bible shows us to do. And we've got people all over. You may never go to Africa, friend, but your giving has gone there. You may never go to India, friend, but your giving has gone there. Like you may never go to the different state, like all 50 states in the United States. We're still in the United States, by the way. We got some work to do. But your giving has gone there. You may never go to Central America, friend, but your giving has gone there. You may never go to Israel, the Holy Land. I hope you will one day. I want to go one day. But your giving
has gone there. And here's the reality. Every salvation, every disciple that's been made in these other nations, if you've given even a dollar, you play a part in that. You didn't give the altar call, but you take part in the harvest of what's taking place in those areas. And friend, we are just getting started. I just think it's so cool because I could list countries and that, you know, whatever, but to see it on a map is so helpful for me and probably for you. Now, here's the reality. This is all good, but we aren't done. And we've got to continue to share hope with those around us, even in a COVID-19 world. And yes, the methods, hear me, the methods are going to look different, but the message of Jesus stays the same. I want to say that again. We're not just going to do church as usual, okay? We are tight-fisted with the message, the good news. That is unchanging. But we are open-handed with the methods, the way that we share hope with the world. And so we're not afraid of technology. We're not afraid of getting creative around here. And so I want to challenge you. Maybe some ways that you've never thought of before that you can share hope because you have friends, family, coworkers, people in your class, even online, that don't know Jesus that need some hope. I want to give you just a couple examples of how people in our church are already being used and you can step up as well. Here's a way, and we talked about it back in March when everything got shut down. But I want to challenge some people in our church, if you're not doing this already, to host a Facebook watch party on the service you don't attend in person. If you watch only online, I want to encourage you to do that. Here's the cool thing about this. It takes 30 seconds or less to share the service, to start a Facebook watch party, and you will get the gospel out to people who you are friends with that you would never maybe come into physical contact with because they live in a different state or they're a family member that lives across the state of Texas, and you can share hope that way. I'll give you one quick example, one quick testimony. This is from one of our newest members. But they started doing this. They would attend a service, and they do still. They'll attend a service in person, and then the service they don't attend, they'll share and host a Facebook watch party. They've been doing this since May. It takes less than 30 seconds, and literally one person, they've had over 53 people outside of the church watch at least one of our services. Think about that. They weren't chatting with them. They didn't have this big elaborate. They literally were just hosting it, just sharing it, getting it started. And 50 repeats came from that. So it wasn't just one and done for people. It's an easy way that you can share hope. Here's another example. One of our members told me recently that one thing they did is they would just check in on Facebook, on Instagram. Didn't even write anything. They just checked in. Takes 2 seconds or less. And because of that, one of their friends, they never thought in a million years would care about God, care about church, saw it, and I believe eventually came to a service. They didn't personally invite them. They just checked in. Hey, I'm here. I'm here. I got to tell you, friend, we don't need any more secret service Christians in 2020 and beyond. You got friends and family. Well, I'm not comfortable with that pastor. Really? You're not comfortable with people getting saved? Really? Like the message stays the same, but the method must look different. We will adapt because we will not die. We are the church of Jesus Christ. So I'm challenging you. I'm not talking to new people for this next few moments. I'm talking to our church people. I'm challenging you. Begin again to leverage relationships, leverage social media, leverage the relationships with your neighbors and your friends, invite them to church in person, online, doesn't really matter to me. And not just that, I'm also challenging each one of us who believe and follow Jesus to share hope with at least one person personally in the next 12 months. Don't just rely on a pastor with a microphone. You have family. You have friends that need to know the hope that you have. And if you're not sharing that hope, you are not acting like the church God has called us to be from the beginning. Well, Pastor, I don't know what to say. What if they ask me this random question? And what if they bring up my past and all the mistakes that I made? And by past, you're talking about yesterday, you know, like this. What if they bring that up and say I'm a hypocrite? Like, it's not that complicated. Love people, point them to Jesus, and be normal, okay? That's all you got to do. That's all you got to do. The Holy Spirit fills in the gaps. And I know what I'm saying will be a challenge for some, but God is looking at you, he's looking at me, and he's just saying this, just give me something to work with. Have you given God something to work with? Give him something. Let's keep going here. Second way we can get back to our roots, and I'm calling us to this. Number two, I'm calling us to stand together. To stand together. Specifically, verse 46, the early church, they did life together. I alluded to this earlier. That's where discipleship took place. It wasn't a 12-step program. It wasn't this special Sunday school curriculum that you go through in 52 weeks, 1 week, every single like one throughout the year, and then event. No. Like they did life together. This is where discipleship happens. This is where community happens. And honestly, like, I don't care if you do life together through Zoom or Microsoft Meetings or FaceTime or in person. I don't care if it's once a week, once a month, every other week, but are you doing life together? Are you standing together with other believers? This is the New Testament church at its finest. And if you're struggling today, it's probably because you haven't yet found your tribe, your people. People that notice when you're gone for a couple of weeks. People that will call you out in love when you make excuses. Like people who love you enough to pray for you and even help you financially. That's when you know that you're friends with somebody. When they'll not just say they love you, they'll show their love by supporting you in your time of need. And so we've got to get back to it. We got to double down on it. And so I'm going to keep talking about it and keep talking about it and keep talking about it because it's where discipleship happens. And what did Jesus say? Go make disciples. And so I wonder, when's the last time you made a disciple? Well, that's the church's responsibility. Where did we read that? That ain't in there. It's your responsibility. It's you. Who are you discipling? Like, I'm not talking 12-step program. Like, who are you mentoring? Who are you leading closer to Jesus? Who are you modeling? Hey, follow me as I follow Jesus. We've got to get back to this. It is what God has called us to do. And so we're about to end a semester, but guess what? The beginning of the new year, we'll start a new semester of small groups, connect groups is what we call them. And so I'm challenging you. If you're not in a group, find a group. I'm challenging you. That if you don't like any of the groups that we're going to offer, or it doesn't fit your schedule, take that as a sign from on high that you're called to start a group, okay? Be the group that you want to find. I don't care what it looks like, just make sure it's wrapped up in Jesus and you'll get a thumbs up from us. We'll help you along the way, but I'm telling you, this is critical. Let's get back to our roots. Here's a third way we can partner together, and I am not close to being finished, so do not start checking your clock, okay? Number three, serve others. Serve others. Share hope, stand together, serve others. This is verses 44 through 45. I got to tell you, I am so thankful for what God's done this past year, but there is more for us to do. Until Jesus comes back, we can't stop, we won't stop. Friend, well, how are you always so exuberant, Pastor? It's because I know there are lost people that still need to be found in Jesus. If everybody was saved and everybody was discipled, we could kick back and we could applaud ourselves. But I'm telling you, there are a lot of people still to reach. America is somewhere around now, present. I know we were founded on biblical principles. I get that. But today, we are somewhere around the third most lost nation, or country, excuse me, in the world. Like, there are so many people that are far from God. So I got to tell you, you think I've been passionate so far, you just buckle up, buckaroo, okay? You just get ready. God has called us to see a need
and serve a need. God has called us to find a need and fill it, to not point out problems, to point out solutions to problems. And many times we are the answer to our own prayer. I got to tell you, we must get out of lockdown mode when it comes to our minds. Waiting on somebody else or things to open up to serve. I don't see any excuses throughout the New Testament. I don't see any points where God said, you know what, you take it easy for a year. You rest for 6 months because you've worked really hard these last decades. No. God's called us all to make a difference for the kingdom. And honestly, all three of what we talked about today, sharing hope, standing together, and serving others, they all help us fulfill our vision here, heaven full and hell empty. If you haven't noticed, part of that's represented in the state of Texas on our shirts. They're given away. Heaven full and hell empty. Now, I know we got some people wondering, well, Pastor, what about that 10-year plan you talked about earlier? What about that? Like, what is it? I know we got a lot of people thinking that in the room online, and so I think this is the right moment to step into that. I've heard from God, and so I'm going to roll out for you the 10-year plan here at Christ Covenant Church. So get ready. In 2021, we're going to focus on evangelism and discipleship, heaven full and hell empty. In 2022, we're going to focus all of our efforts and all of our energy on evangelism and discipleship, heaven full and hell empty. And the year 2023 is going to be awesome. Brand new initiative. Our focus will be heaven full and hell empty. In the year 2024, we're going to turn the corner a little bit. It's going to be fantastic and place all of our attention on heaven full and hell empty. Jesus was hyper obsessed with this. He said the only mission of the Son of Man is to seek and to save what is lost. It's not the healthy who need a doctor. It's the sick. And as long as I'm the senior pastor of this church, about every month, I got to stand up and I got to shout and I got to spit back to the second row just to remind you of the reason of these lights and that camera and this environment and our band and those seats and those ushers and those papers and everything you see and the preparation you don't see. It all revolves around one thing, baby, that people that are far from Jesus would come close to Jesus. And as long as I'm the senior pastor of this church, that's our focus. We will do whatever we can just so one more person or one more family can come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. It's why we exist, and that's our 10-year plan. That's our plan. It's why we work long hours. It's why we give to the church. It's why we serve. That people would come to know Jesus. And you can critique or you could say, well, you should do it this way. I just want to be what God intended us to be. And we see the blueprint in Acts chapter 2. It wasn't fancy. It wasn't programmed. It was just pointing people to Jesus. And if people will get on to us for that, then I'm okay with that. Heaven full and hell empty. You can leave today knowing, hey, that's going to be their 10-year plan. That's their focus. Share hope, stand together, and serve others. Now, with all that said, I do want to share a few things with you, things I just want on your radar as we head into the new year, and really as we end this year, and And if you've been around for a while, like these aren't new initiatives. We're just doubling down on what God's called us to. The first is this. Many people know, but since I've been here, every year we have an annual Christmas offering. One of the things that we do is we don't take up a special offering, maybe once or twice a year. If there's a disaster that hits home, obviously we'll make adjustments, but for the most part, it's once or twice a year. And the coolest thing about our Christmas offering is going to happen on Sunday, December the 13th. But the coolest thing about it is I'm telling you early on purpose, because on that Sunday, you've got a chance not to give to a church, but through a church. So these last several weeks, we've been praying, and I've been asking missionaries and friends and our elders, and hey, what are some opportunities out there that we can give towards? And so I found a few of them. We prayed through them. Really excited to share it with you. And we've got an internal goal that above and beyond our tithe, because we want to be generous, right? Above and beyond our tithe. So this is not budgeted into our operations budget, but above and beyond our tithe that we want to give away. We'd love to do somewhere around $10,000. If we hit less than that, then we'll make adjustments. What I'm about to share to you has not been promised. I say it this way, we will move at the speed of your generosity. If we have more come in, then we'll do more. But there's no like manipulation here. Or I'm not trying to twist your arm. I'm not going to show like a sad video with puppies. You know, that's not coming. Like, I want you to take time and pray about it. And what's the verbiage we use? Christ Covenant family, listen to God and do what he says. Right? That's it. That's it. And I'm giving you time. And so a couple of things we're really excited about. These are opportunities. We don't call them needs. There's always needs until Jesus comes back. These are opportunities. One thing we always give towards is our benevolence ministry. How many of y'all can guess that that's ramped up here this current year? And so we set aside some money to help people at Christ Covenant, people beyond Christ Covenant that are struggling in financial crisis. And so we set aside some for that. There's just four of them. The second is this, and we're really passionate about this around here, but we want to help meet the immediate needs of women rescued from sex trafficking here in Houston. Passionate about that. By funding a missions organization called Rescue Houston. They have a broader branch called Rescue America. And here's what's really cool is they do the rescuing and then they pass off these women, these children to amazing organizations like Elijah Rising that we've already given towards and we now support monthly. Many people don't know this, but in the state of Texas, in 1 year, it's something like 313,000 women and children are trafficked. Think about that number. Houston is a hub, unfortunately, for that. And what's really cool as we partner with Rescue Houston is that for every $300, we can help a woman rescued from sex trafficking in our city and meet her immediate needs. Like, isn't that awesome? Another one is we want to provide scholarships for pastors in Africa to receive 1 year of Bible training. And for every $600 we send their way, we can provide books, lodging, and food for one pastor for an entire year. Many people that have been around the church for a while, you know that we monthly support KMTI. And a lot of the areas, not all, but a lot of the areas in Africa that you saw a moment ago were through KMTI, not all of them. And we already support them monthly. And so this is in addition to that to provide these scholarships through Larry Neese, a great missionary there. And then lastly, we want to accelerate the vision that we share here at Christ Covenant. And so I just want you to listen to God and do what he says. And believe it or not, this sounds funny because we're talking Christmas and we're not even to Thanksgiving yet. but still, it's believe it or not, it's less than 2 months away. And so we've got special Christmas services coming up. And I just want you to be mindful. Most people will say yes to a Christmas service that would say no to any other week during the year. You have an opportunity in front of you. And so on Sunday, December 20th, we'll have two services. We'll have special things during service and after each service. Some fun stuff that we're going to do. We're going to preach Jesus like always. But the new part of it is one other thing that I wanted to do coming in here was have a Christmas Eve annual service. And this is going to be that year. And so I'm asking for you to start a new family tradition with us. and to be here Christmas Eve. We'll have one service, 5:30 p.m. It will last 1 hour. It will be a traditional candlelight service, and it's just going to be beautiful. I'll share a little bit, but it's mostly going to be just worship music and singing Christmas carols together and lighting those candles. It's going to be a beautiful moment. And again, it's just going to be an hour. And so if you're like our family and you do something special Christmas Eve night, you can just take an hour break and then head back to those festivities. And so have that in your heart, in your mind. Another thing that we're passionate about around here that's coming up in the new year is 21 days of prayer and fasting. It's a part of our rhythm, part of our flow. I got to tell you, if there's any other time in the history of our nation that we've needed to pray and fast, it is now. You want revival? Are you praying for revival? So I hope and challenge you that you would join us for that. And we're going to give you a lot of helps like we normally do. And this is really special. But at the end of the 21 days of prayer and fasting on January 24th, we're going to have another encounter night. We've had people asking us, when are you going to do another one? When are you going to do another one? Not only are we going to do another one, praying for miracles, just soaking in God's presence, but also there's going to be many more to come this new year. And so we're really, really excited about what God has in store. So there's a few things on your radar in the next few months. Before I pray, I want to give you some takeaways here, some practical handles. Like, what's the next step for you? There's three things. And these three things, I want everyone in our church, like if this is your home church, I want everyone in our church to do these next three things. If you've taken two of the steps, make sure you take the third step. If you've taken all three steps, make sure you stay faithful in those three steps, but three things. Number one, I'm challenging every Christ Covenant churchgoer to share hope, to share hope. Give God something to work with. Give him something. If you've never invited somebody, invite them. If you've never prayed for a lost friend or shared your faith personally, may this be the year. Like, take out your Secret Service earpiece, stop wearing all black, and go public with your faith, okay? If you've never tithed, may this be your year. Maybe you can't do 10%, you feel. Start at 2%, 5%. Work your way towards obedience instead of staying stuck in disobedience, okay? This is not Ryan talking, it's God's word. Number two, second step I want every person to take is to stand together, to participate in a group, to lead a group, to take discipleship personally. It is our job as Christians to disciple, to make disciples. There is no program for it. The program is you and me to duplicate ourselves. And then number three, to serve. If you are serving, continue to serve faithfully. If you're not serving, your break is over, okay? You've had since March. Here's the cool thing about multiple services. I know some people are like, well, we can't see every... We're growing. We're reaching more people than we've ever reached before. It looks different, but don't you want to reach people? Yes, you do. And so here's the cool thing about multiple services is that once or twice a month, you can serve one and then sit one. So you never miss a service. Even if you're in a kid's classroom or a cafe or an usher or all these different things that pull you out, leading Impact AM for our middle schoolers, you can still serve one and sit one even on that week that you're serving or that 2 weeks that you're serving out of the month. Like, this is not a one-man show or the work of a few. Let's do this together. Let's do this together. That's your steps. Share hope, stand together, serve others. If you're already doing them all, keep doing them faithfully. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you. I thank you for a day like today that we can refocus on why we do what we do. And I pray, God, that as I've laid out the 10-year plan, I pray, God, that it would settle heavy in every Christ Covenant churchgoer heart, Lord. I pray, God, that whether they're online or in the room, that they would grab a hold of our vision, that they would own the vision, that wouldn't just be the vision of a few, but the vision of many, that we're going to partner together, even in a post-COVID-19 world. And yes, it will look different, but it's the same message. And we are called to share hope. We are called to stand together. We are called to serve others. It's what it looked like at the beginning, and it's the church, the New Testament church, at its finest, in its most pure, rawest form, that we would be salt, and we would be light, and that we would bring the broken in. It's not the well that need a doctor. It's the sick that need the doctor, and you are the great physician. So may you stir a fresh passion and a fresh fire in every single heart, in every single life. May we never forget, this is why we do what we do, to reach people. We are not called to be a Christian club with closed doors, but a hospital for the brokenhearted with doors open wide. May we be that church. May we not be satisfied. Yes, God, you're doing some great things, and I've shared a few highlights today, but there's so much more opportunity. And I pray lastly for anybody underneath the sound of my voice in this room and watching online, maybe even YouTube on demand. I just pray, God, that if there's anybody that came in today or logged on today feeling hopeless, I pray, God, that their head would be uplifted with hope, that, God, their eyes would lift up to you, that, Jesus, you're the answer for their hopelessness. You're their peace. You're their champion. And I pray right now in this moment they would make you their Savior, personal Lord and Savior. With eye closed, if head bowed, if you're far from Jesus, I pray today you would make a decision to follow him, to put your trust in him. And Romans chapter 10, verse 9, gives us a clear direction of how do we do that? How do we commit our life? It says this, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And so it's about confession and belief. And you can do that right now in this moment. Don't miss your moment. And I'll give you some things to say. You can whisper them to him. He hears you. His ear is not turned away from you. It's turned towards you. You can tell him this, Jesus, I believe, I put my trust in you. I make you my personal God, my personal Lord and Savior. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I realize today, maybe even more than any other day, that I can't fix myself. I can't earn my way to a relationship with you, but it's only by your grace. So I receive your grace, God. I put my faith in you. And I pray in this moment that you would set my feet upon the narrow path. Help me to follow you. And anytime that I stumble off, anytime I fall down, that you would be there to pick me back up. That you'd surround me with people, with a church that would cheer me on and help me as every day I become more like you. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for forgiving me. And thank you for giving me a new start. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you made a decision for Jesus Christ, or if your life has been impacted in any way, please send us an email at info@christcov.net. We would love to hear your story. And for those that committed your life to Christ, we want to help you on your new journey by sending our free Start Bible Kit in the mail. If you'd like to partner with us financially, simply click on the Give tab at christcov.net. There it will take you to a safe and secure page where you can set up a one-time or recurring gift to help us accomplish our vision, heaven full and hell empty. And as always, you can find out more about Christ Covenant on our website or on Facebook or Instagram at Christ Cove Houston.